This is Sheila Hummel and Andrew Ridgewick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Jesus' disciples took his command seriously when he once said to them at his ascension, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Today it seems that witnessing or making disciples isn't really something we as Christians in general do very well or even feel qualified to do. But we love worship, we're passionate about our beliefs, and many of us get involved in social action projects. But our first hymn reminds us that we may feel weak and inadequate to the task of reaching out to others, but we have with us a mighty God to help. He provides for us as we journey through life and as we try to make others known to him. He is "Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer," sung by Catherine Jenkins, who's supported by two male voice choirs from Wales.
Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand.
I wonder if you heard that lovely Welsh phrase that Catherine Jenkins ended with there at the end of that hymn. It actually means, "Oh, to stay in his love forevermore." Beautiful way of finishing that hymn. Let's listen to our reading though from today's Gospel, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. It's all about the disciples being sent out to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest upon them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near." In that gospel reading today, we just heard how Jesus sent 72 disciples out in pairs to every town and every place where he was headed. So we too are to go wherever he sends us and not worry, because he is headed there too. It is said that telling others about Jesus is like one hungry person telling another hungry person where to find bread. And one day we will dwell with our Heavenly Father, but first we must travel like pilgrims on the road through life, facing many challenges on the way. Our second hymn is called "Leading Me Home." It says, "Through the coldest night and the wildest storm, through the darkest times you are leading me home. Floating out against the tide, the taste of fear is rising. I'm learning as I go. I'm not afraid of failing. Tricky chances come what may, endless horizons. With your love, I am sure I can risk it all." Here's Erica Jennings with that song, "Leading Me Home."
Through the coldest night and the wildest storm,
leading me home.
Through the darkest times,
leading me home.
You're leading me home.
Leading me home.
Floating out against the tide, the taste of fear is rising. Says come what may, endless horizons. With your love, I am sure I can risk it all. Through the coldest night and the wildest storm, through the darkest times, you're leading me. Leading me home,
leading me home.
Through your eyes I see so much, so differently. And there belies a love of such simplicity. Whether I should rise or fall, your love remains all constantly. Through it all, silent tears, you will raise me up with strength to conquer all my fears. Through the coldest night and the wildest storms, the
There was a great excitement and a sense of urgency about these 72 disciples as they began to share the good news about Jesus and what they had seen him do and what they had heard him teach. In fact, Jesus himself was their good news, for he showed all the signs of being the long-awaited Saviour of the world. He healed the sick, gave sight to the blind. He delivered the oppressed and performed many miracles. John, many years later, would sum up the good news in this one sentence. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That can be found in John chapter 3, verse 16. So let's follow that on with Stainer's version of these words. God so loved the world. We'll encounter many people in need on our life's journey, and like the 72, we're called to pass on the good news of Jesus, for who else can answer the deepest needs of humankind? Who else can touch the human heart more to bring about peace and love and forgiveness? And if we do nothing, share nothing, say nothing, and keep it all to ourselves, what then? The prophet Jeremiah felt compelled to speak out the word of God that was in him. He couldn't keep it to himself. He tells us, "But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." And then St. Paul gives us another reason why we should speak out with the good news. In his letter to the Romans, he writes, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone to preach to them? Not every Christian is called to be an evangelist who preaches good news and ministers as did those disciples in our Bible reading today. But we've all been called to be witnesses, to tell others something of what God has done in our lives. Our next song contains a prayer that God will break out in us and be set free. It's sung by Stuart Townend and it's called Our God is Strong and Mighty.
Our God is strong and mighty. He's lifting up a shout. It's rolling down like thunder. Can you feel it shake the ground? Every strong
our reading today, Jesus observed that the harvest was plentiful, but the workers were few. Throughout history, this has been the case. But if there has ever been a time when we needed to share the good news of Jesus Christ, it surely must be in today's world, where so many seem bereft of faith or hope. But why are some Christians today shy or even reluctant about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? David Watson, a well-known priest, once asked this question. Are the majority of Western Christians church members, pew fillers, hymn singers, sermon tasters, Bible readers, even born-again believers or spirit-filled charismatics, and still not true disciples of Jesus? He went on to say, if we were willing to learn the real meaning of discipleship and actually become disciples, the church in the West would be transformed, and the resultant impact on society would be staggering. For Jesus called his disciples to a life of obedience to his teaching. His was a call to a simpler lifestyle, a call to bear fruit. In our reading, Jesus said, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus is still looking for workers, for witnesses to go out into his harvest field and bring in the harvest. What is a witness? A Christian witness is simply someone whose speech, conduct and daily life testifies to the teaching of Jesus Christ and who also is willing to share their faith and their love for Jesus with others. The question is, are we willing to go? A song was written called Here I Am, Lord, and it's very reminiscent of Isaiah 6, where Isaiah sees the Lord in the temple. And a question is asked, who will go for me? This song is sung by John Michael Thomas.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will
once threw out this challenge to Western Christians when he said, "The gospel is a much more powerful weapon for the renewal of society than is our Marxist philosophy, but we are determined to achieve our object. How can anybody believe in the supreme value of the gospel if you don't practice it, if you don't spread it, and if you sacrifice neither time nor money for it? However, we believe in our communist message, and we are ready to sacrifice everything, even our life. But you people are afraid to dirty your hands." "Go," said Jesus in our reading. "I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." In the more recent past, whereas Christians once feared putting someone off with their message, now this has been replaced with a fear to speak out at all, in case someone ridicules or reacts aggressively or objects to our faith. In many places now, people face danger for even wearing a cross. In fact, it's becoming more and more difficult right around the world to speak Jesus' name. Jesus never said it would be easy, but dangerous. There's always the risk of failure, but there will be successes too. In our reading, Jesus advised his 72 messengers, "Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road." For Jesus advised them to travel light and not get bogged down with material goods. Here they were being called to a life of humility and simplicity. They were being called to trust in God to provide for them. How far does our wealthy lifestyle hinder or help the task of mission and evangelism in the world? Can we learn to live on enough rather than desire more. Even though Jesus was rich, he became poor and hated for our sakes. How much of ourselves will we give for him? There are some very powerful words in our final hymn about sharing the Christian faith. It's a hymn called Facing a Task Unfinished, which was originally written by Frank Horton, who worked as a missionary in China at a time of great danger and persecution. We're going to listen to it being sung by Kirsten Getty. It's our final hymn today, but first, let us say goodbye. This is Sheila Hamill saying goodbye, and Andrew, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
Have a lovely week, everyone. Take care. Bye for now.
Facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. We who rejoice to know thee renew before thy throne the solemn pledge we owe thee to go and make thee known. Let's stand. Wherever Lord's beside thee, hold their unhindered sway. Where forces that defy thee, defy thee still today. To heed the cry for life and love and light. Unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night. We go to all the world with kingdom hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ. That flaming fell from